welcome to the Yes to Life show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, host for the show and founder of the UK charity Yes to Life, that now has two decades of supporting people with cancer under its belt. 20 years of helping people to learn about the multitude of ways that they can support themselves in managing and regaining their health. My guest on the show today is Denise Stevenson. Denise is becoming increasingly well known for her work in providing health resources to people through her website, Double Zero. Denise, really lovely to have you on the show, and not before time.
Excellent. Thank you very much for the invitation.
So you're out there bringing useful information to those with cancer under the banner of Double Zero. I always assumed that I knew why you named it that, but I never actually asked you. So the authoritative answer, please.
Okay. It was one of those ones where, how do I find a name to encompass everything that we're doing? And I didn't want to put cancer in the website name, although it is certainly the biggest part of the resource that we run. I got cancer at 50 years old. Thought I was very healthy. I was exercising, thought I was eating well and doing all of the right things. And that happened to me at 50, almost exactly on my birthday. And with all the changes that I've made in my life, I have full intention to reach my 00 birthday. So that's 100, 100 years old.
All right. Okay. Well, good. I'm glad I asked. That wasn't exactly what I thought. So there you go. Brilliant.
Yeah. So I think for me, that marks the halfway point in my life.
Right.
Before and after, and no going back.
Very good. All right. Brilliant. Yeah, I wouldn't mind living to 100 and more. So you and I were both recently in Florida at the Annie Appleseed Conference, and it was great. We had lots of time to hang out, chat, which I loved. And my feeling is that the Atlantic gap's beginning to narrow, that there's a stronger drive to link up integrative oncology in Europe and the US than there has been in the past. So I wondered if you agree with that. And what do you think is the potential for this?
I think 100%. I think as long as we can maintain the unity that is there, nobody's going to agree 100% on methods of healing and various approaches. But I think what we have in common is way bigger than what divides us. And I think as long as we can keep that unity, this is not a countrywide issue. It's not even a continent-wide issue. It's a worldwide issue. And I think there's strength in that unity. And we have some seriously intelligent people now all saying the same thing. And I think there's a real power in that. I think COVID times showed us that health really has no boundaries. The doctors in the US are now able to operate out of state as they weren't before. So that's opened up options for them. And I think we are all saying the same thing. Different accents, different vocabulary maybe, but we are all saying the same thing. Watching what's happening in the States with interest in the Department of Health there, they do seem to be world leaders in so many fields. And I think, you know, the pattern seems to be the States leads, then the UK follows, and then Europe follows. So I'm really hopeful that those relationships are being formed. There's a great amount of respect between different doctors, scientists, oncologists in different countries. We all want the same thing. And I agree, the boundaries seem to be coming down. It would just be rather amazing if the boundary between complementary, alternative and conventional therapy can go the same way.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you for that. Yeah. So most of the guest experts I speak to on the show, they've got their own health story to tell. And, you know, we've got the societal narrative of what works in medicine. Mm-hmm. But then individuals who are forced to dig a little bit deeper by a health challenge find that, well, Yeah, mainstream medicine can indeed help with lots of things. There are plenty of others in which it's completely empty-handed or maybe even makes matters worse. So that's the time when people often discover another world of natural, integrative, complementary lifestyle approaches that can provide answers where conventional medicine has none.
Yeah.
So can I ask you to tell us your personal story that brought you to founding Double Zero?
Certainly. I live in France, English and French nationality, and I was treated by the French system in Toulouse, southwest France. Cancer was very new to me. I was an absolute beginner. I knew nothing. I didn't know anybody who had healed from cancer. I didn't know anything other than the conventional narrative. So my perspective was on diagnosis. You listen to what the doctors say, what the oncologists say. I didn't even know what an oncologist was at that
right.
time. So it was a massive learning curve for me. And, you know, the title I picked today of Follow the Science, I did. But I'm a very curious person. I will always question. I will always challenge. I will always dig deeper. And I think with our health, if there is any field in our life when we're going to do that, that is just the one to do it in. I'm sure any listeners will have heard the saying, you know, you can have 100 wishes, but when you don't have your health, you have just one wish. And I certainly was at a crisis point. I was diagnosed with stage 3 HER2 positive breast cancer. I was told actually by the oncologist, which was interesting actually, on the first appointment that if I do what they say, I would be cancer free within 12 months. Which was an interesting claim to make.
It was with stage 3, yes.
Yes, absolutely. And the schedule was I was given a choice: either have a mastectomy straight away, followed by chemotherapy and radiotherapy, and Herceptin, or try chemotherapy in a bid to reduce the tumor, to make the surgery less invasive, and then have the surgery and radiotherapy and Herceptin. So in my very naive way, I thought, why wouldn't I try and reduce this tumor load to try and make this surgery less invasive? So off we went. Alongside that, news of a cancer diagnosis tends to spread pretty quickly. I was president of a church at the time, and made the choice to share with the congregation what was happening in my life. And after that first service, a lady gave me a book by Robert and Susan Oliphant, an English couple who had seen so many family members die of cancer treatments and were determined to try and find another way. So they went on a massive research journey. And Susan, after being given weeks to live, is still alive today, many, many years later. She didn't have chemotherapy, radiotherapy. She did have the tumor that she had removed. So that began questions in my mind. I then went to Dr. Google, a very dangerous place, but yep. It did get me started on, hang on, is there something else here? There's something I'm not being told. So the next appointment, I asked the oncologist his views on some of the natural therapies that they'd used. And I was told to stop that nonsense and just do as he said. But there was this kind of, I spoke to Robert and Susan, Christian couple, very good people. They're not the only ones saying this thing. So I had an explore and was seeing more and more research and hearing more and more healing stories. So I did both. I covered my options. I did have some chemotherapy, but alongside that, I had quit sugar. I was juicing each morning. I was exercising. I was working on my mental state. My mother had died a few months before, and my immune system was absolutely on the floor. So I started practicing self-care, which I hadn't been very good at as a mother of three children, really prioritized myself during that time. And within 11 weeks, four chemotherapy sessions, so that's halfway through the schedule, I was due to have an MRI. The oncologist refused it. So I paid for it, which in France was something like 120 euros. And it came back with a very teary me showing a completely normal breast. So I go back to the hospital, show them the scan, which had been done by another hospital. And they said, no, we have to continue this protocol. There will be circulating cancer cells.
Yeah.
The first session of chemo, I asked for a full copy of my medical records when my treatment finished. And after the first infusion, it shows that I had febrile neutropenia, the most common cause of death from chemotherapy. It almost killed me, the first session. And at that point, a clear MRI scan, four sessions still to go. We know the effects of chemotherapy are cumulative. I walked away. I was told I would die. I was told I was being a very irresponsible woman as a mother of three small children. And I was told that he wouldn't treat me anymore. Looking back, it was really quite a brave thing to do. As a non-medic, my youngest daughter was 14 at the time. But, you know, I have a strong faith. At the very beginning of the journey, I just had this word, this feeling, and it was a knife will not touch your body. That was what I clung on to during the whole experience. And it was very clear. And my faith grew exponentially during that time. So I clung on to that and I chose to believe that would be the case. So I stopped the chemotherapy and was told that I still needed to have surgery. And they removed, I think it was 1.7 millimeters of scar tissue in the end. There was, you know, no cancer left in my body. They removed seven lymph nodes. I didn't know any better at the time. They were all negative. I didn't realize what would happen as a result of having those lymph nodes removed. I wear a sleeve when I fly. I can't do saunas and steam rooms anymore. But I didn't have the mastectomy. I was talked into some radiotherapy by my family and the hospital. And I was talked into some Herceptin, which I stopped after three or four doses as it was damaging my heart. And here we are 8 years later with no cancer and, yeah, an awful lot of gained knowledge. I'm not a medical professional like you. I guard that very dearly. But I have shared my story with several women now, all of who were predicted to have a mastectomy, none of which ended up having a mastectomy.
Mm.
We're not talking hundreds, but we're talking, you know, it wasn't a fluke. And there is much we can do, as we know.
Okay, so and that led into Double Zero. At what point did you set up Double Zero and what actually prompted it?
I think it was the fact that I'd dodged a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
I'd dodged major surgery and I wanted to share what I'd learned. And I wanted to share credible medical information with people who are not told it by their doctors.
Mm.
I would love to see that change. I believe it is changing very slowly, and it will continue to change. but it was all about why would I keep this to myself? I didn't find Yes to Life.
Shame.
I didn't find you guys. I wish I had. And now you're at the top of our cancer resource as one of the first go-tos, because it's for people like me. It's for everyday people who have this life-changing diagnosis, who are totally shocked and stunned and like a rabbit in headlights, don't know where to go, what to do. And that's what 00 is about. It's for people like you and I, just to gently guide them into, there are resources available, there's solid information available, here's where you start, and you will take your own journey on from there, whatever resonates with you. But it just gives people stacks and stacks of options. There are thousands of healing stories on there. There's research on there. There are credible websites, credible podcasts, so that people can find, you know, smaller charities like Yes to Life.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Thing, yeah, that thing you described, the sort of rabbit in the headlights, just been diagnosed, know nothing whatsoever, don't know what chemotherapy is, what an oncologist is, anything. Well, that's the norm, and it's a testament to the fear around cancer, I think, that nobody wants to know about cancer, even though it's common, of course, and they're just hoping it's not going to be them. It's heartening to notice, though, we talked about things moving on now. And one of the things I've observed recently is that there is a younger generation coming up who are aware of the fact that they could be in the firing line, because 50% of people are going to get it and could well be them. And so they're actually doing something that is quite unprecedented, which is they're actually looking into what they could do to stay well, which is really great to hear, because, of course, that's where the answers lie. This is very exciting.
Absolutely. There's a quote that actually I've had sort of blown up and laminated, and I use it for every talk I do, every kind of fundraiser we participate in. And it's from the World Health Organization. And it says that sort of 45 to 50% of all cancers can be prevented by diet and lifestyle. What a game changer that would be.
Yeah. And it's probably an underestimate as well.
Yes. Yeah. But that's enough to shock people into, okay, what are some simple things I can do on a daily basis that will reduce my risk?
Yeah, yeah.
We know that processed meats are carcinogenic. We know that if you have cancer, sugar is not your friend. We know that there are compounds in green tea, for example, in turmeric. You know, the research is there. So the whole follow the science thing, do follow the science. Don't necessarily just follow that standard of care. You have to. I had a nutritionist come and see me while I was having an infusion of chemotherapy, so I couldn't go anywhere. I was wired up and having the red devil, as it's called, put into my veins. And the oncologist had asked this nutritionist to come and see me. He was concerned about my weight loss. It had really dropped. I was down to 46 kilograms, which I think is under 7 stone, actually, in UK weight. And he was genuinely concerned about my weight and cachexia, of course, very dangerous condition with cancer patients. And she came to see me and she said, okay, right. And I said, well, I'm not eating meat. I'm not eating dairy. I'm not eating fish. Okay, protein bars. And I said, I'm not eating sugar either. And she just said, I really don't know what to say. I really have nothing to suggest to you. And off she went and left.
Wow.
And that was a hospital-employed nutritionist.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, she was telling you the truth anyway. She hadn't got any idea, I'm sure. It shows where the focus is there, though.
We have a way to go.
Yeah, yeah.
We really do. I find it really quite shocking that the 1939 Cancer Act is still in force.
Yeah, well, it's not going anywhere soon, I don't think. I think the heartening thing about that is that whereas it used to be this blunt instrument that was used to keep everybody away from helping people with cancer, much to the detriment of the people with cancer, of course, we now know that actually doesn't need to do that. The Cancer Act, as it is, allows us to help. We just have to do it in the right way that doesn't contravene the Act. And so actually, it's probably better the devil we know than something else they might dream up instead, is the way I look at it. But yeah, most people are completely unaware that it even exists, of course. So back to your double zero and your website and everything. First of all, thank you, yes, very much. We do feature prominently on your site. Big thank you for that. We appreciate that and your ongoing support of our work. Yeah, as you said, cancer is a big part of what's on there, but it's not everything by any means on your website. You actually support a lot of conditions. How do you decide what's supported?
I think it's when we were starting in 2020, you asked me why we started, and it was because there was no one source of all this information. There's some amazing resources out there, but there was no link to bring them all together. So the idea was one website, and you can then use a search bar, you can then use the different categories, but they're all together. So how do we decide? And I'm very conscious that by placing information on that website, we are endorsing those associations and individuals and methodology. Non-communicable diseases would be my description. Things that can be aided by diet and lifestyle and everything that surrounds that. So several sections on there, general health, general physical health, general mental health. We know the links between those two. Flourish very kindly printed an article that I wrote this month about a healthy mind.
That's Flourish magazine for listeners.
Yes,
which is
Flourish magazine. Excellent magazine, and this issue was all about mental health, and I wrote an article quoting Dr. Bruce Lipton, who has a classic book on the subject of the physical and mental health links. So physical health, mental health, we then have health conditions, which is where cancer features, but as you say, we also feature resources for Alzheimer's, dementia, gut health, bones, skin. It's all linked with diet, and it's basically inside out stuff. We feature a nutrition resource, you know, how to get this health into your body. We feature thousands and thousands of recipes, just, you know, all in one place, and they're all on people's websites. They're not books that you have to buy. They're freely available. And the final part is sustainability, which was suggested by one of our contributors, because without that, without looking after our planet, without cleaning our, you know, produce and water, we're getting all of the pesticides and chemicals. Without reusing, recycling, we're just, you know, we've got no planet B. And it's all linked in together. So we've tried to, you know, the website will never, ever be finished. Never going to be finished, because there is just more and more and more. We do a blog about every 10 days with kind of new news and feet, just to kind of keep it fresh, because this follow the science. The science is always changing.
Faster and faster.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we have to, you know, we have to pivot on that sometimes as we get new information through. So the blog is just a way to bring people into the website on a regular basis.
Yeah. Okay, well, coming back to one of those sections you mentioned, you've got this generalized information, as you said, healthy body, healthy mind. Yeah. I want to focus in on the resources in healthy mind for a moment. I feel this is an area that's almost totally ignored by conventional medicine when it comes to cancer. But as I suspect you'll confirm, it's where some of the biggest challenges lie. So what or who do you think are the leading resources in this area for people with cancer?
Oh, my goodness. The one that springs to mind and the one that I recommend, often because it's translated into many languages as well, is Dr. Kellyanne Turner's work, Radical Remission. She cites her first book, she cited 9 factors. And then her second book, Radical Hope, she added a 10th, which I believe is exercise. But she says only 4 of those 10 factors are physical.
Yeah.
It's about community. It's about, looking after our mental health, about meditation. I read something yesterday and it was saying, you can follow the best diet and exercise and lifestyle in the world, but if you have low-level anxiety and stress, nothing is going to work. And it's so true. It's not a coincidence that I got breast cancer less than a year after my mother died of a heart attack. Those two events, she says 93% of breast cancer cases are linked to a serious life event in the 12 months before diagnosis.
Mm. Yeah, that's often spoken about.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Kelly Turner's work, fantastic. I think it's been a complete game changer. Completely agree with you. It's kind of a go-to if I've got somebody who's maybe recently diagnosed, is feeling like, oh, I'm going to die, a bit hopeless about it all. This is the thing that could lift them out of that and give them a sense of purpose and direction.
Absolutely.
And a feeling that actually they do have some agency. So a fantastic resource, completely agree. And just to be clear, the 10 factors that she outlined in the book came from research of asking, I think, about 1,000 extraordinary survivors what they thought had contributed to their extraordinary survival. And these are the 10 factors that everybody actually had in their list of things that they felt were important. So as she concluded, these things must be worth looking at.
Yeah.
So I think she's absolutely right. And it is interesting, as you point out, that so few of them are actually the kind of the practical things that you would think about. And so by far the majority are things which are much more kind of esoteric, to do with your intuition or your relationships or all this kind of stuff. And these are obviously profoundly important to people's health. And, we get this statistic about your social and personal connections being the single biggest predictor of your longevity, how long your life will be. And that is pretty profound stuff, which is totally ignored by health services.
Yeah, absolutely. I've just been looking on my phone, actually, as we're talking, the Healthy Mind resource. And it's exactly what you were saying. The blue zones are featured on there as well.
Yeah.
Those 5 areas that Dan Bertner kind of linked together across the world. Different diets.
Yep.
Different lifestyles completely. But what they do have in common is they are all strong areas of community and friendship. And the elders are not shipped off to old people's homes. The elders are actually often living with the families and very much involved in their lives, either with childcare, helping with homework, cooking, but they're very active. They have a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
And I think that's when you have cancer, I think finding that sense of purpose is huge.
Absolutely.
That mental That mental attitude, I mean, back to Bruce Lipton and Joe Dispenza as well, you know, they've scientifically proven that our cells react to stress.
So, yeah, on the matter of sense of purpose, I think it's worth also mentioning that, funnily enough, for people who've maybe had a lifetime of not really finding a sense of purpose, cancer is a great opportunity for exactly that, funnily enough.
Absolutely. I think it's when I started Double Zero and started sharing on social media, a lady I worked with like 30 years ago got in touch. She'd had breast cancer. Actually, she was at my 50th birthday party, and I hadn't been diagnosed at that point, but I think I knew. I think I knew. And she contacted me and said, I'm really worried about you, Denise. You know, you're focusing on cancer. I don't think it's very healthy for you. The honest truth was, it's not very healthy for her to remember that time in her life, but it absolutely gave me it made something so horrendous into something positive in my life. To be able to help other people, and it does help other people, somehow makes it make sense.
Can 100% relate to that. I mean, there's having had my daughter die from cancer, obviously that,
Now,
a lot of people would say, well, you need to get your head out of that and go and do something completely different after years of hospital wards and chemotherapy and all the rest of it.
absolutely.
But actually, I decided that during that time, I'd actually been much more alive than any other time in my life, even though I hated it. And that I was going to stay. So I was going to keep my head in this bucket of cancer, and do something. And it did actually have exactly the same effect of making some sense of the horrible experience, and something good has come out of it. So, yeah, that's definitely a possibility for all of us.
Definitely. I mean, we spoke just a few weeks ago, and I sh well, when we were away at the Annie Appleseed conference in Florida, I shared that my only brother, had just been given a terminal cancer diagnosis. And when we came back, you'd emailed, and I said, you know, this just makes me want to double down on what we're doing. He didn't live a particularly healthy lifestyle, but was completely unaware of the consequences of that. And by the time he was diagnosed, it was so aggressive. It was 6 weeks from diagnosis to death.
Amazing.
And I think with something like that, again, you can go one of two ways, where you can, this is just too much, this is too heavy, or it can just give you, and actually his bereaved partner of 35 years, she just messaged me and said, just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep doing it. It's really important.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so we haven't spoken about the cancer section on your website. What's on offer there? Do you want to just tell everybody?
Yeah, sure. As I say, it's by far the biggest section on the website. I didn't focus totally on cancer with Double Zero because I realized that a lot of those non-communicable diseases have the same root causes.
Absolutely.
But cancer is definitely the big one. It's full of websites, podcasts. No, I haven't done podcasts. I'm going to do podcasts specifically for cancer because there are many. So it's websites, it's books, it's research, papers, you know, from medical professionals, which are often on the PubMed website. You know, the research is there for us to find. We just don't know where to go to find it. So I try to make it easy for people and link it directly to relevant cancers, and also testimonials. There are thousands of testimonials on there from people like Kellyanne Turner, from people like Chris Walk. They're really big sections on there, and individual stories, individual healing stories. We both met a guy, Jacob, in the States, who'd healed from prostate cancer without the surgery he was told he needed. And he's a videographer and he's got a wonderful testimonial that's now on the website. And it's just constantly adding to, I didn't know one person when I was diagnosed who had managed.
Right.
And I was told that we're not allowed to say we're healed, we're in remission, which just gives you that low level anxiety again and again and again. Yeah. I may get cancer back one day. I may. I'll be very surprised. And it's not something that I focus on because I do everything to prevent that happening. And I think that's all we can do. You know, it's just, yeah. There's a wonderful, just a really quick sentence from Professor Tim Spector, you know, our genetics load the gun and our lifestyle pulls the trigger. So, you know, I've hidden the gun.
Right. I think it's interesting because, as you say, you're doing a belt and braces job on trying to ensure you don't get cancer again. But it's not, this is not necessarily some horrible sort of fear-based thing based on trying not to have cancer, because those strategies are actually health-promoting. They're about living an excellent quality of life and supporting good health. So it's not a negative kind of backlash against cancer, as people might think. It's actually a positive move to live the fullest and best quality life you can. So it's entirely plus, really.
100%. I'm 57 years old. I don't take any medication. I feel amazing. My latest issue to heal is I've just been diagnosed with osteoporosis. I went and did a DEXA scan thinking I would have a problem after chemotherapy and radiotherapy.
Yes.
And, you know, I sat with my GP and we've had a relationship for 20 years now. So she's seen me through really high levels of cholesterol, which I've never taken statins for, but I have an angiogram every few years and I have no deposits in my artery. Again, preventative. We've been through COVID together. We've been through cancer together, and we're now on osteoporosis together. So when she said, I need to put you on some medication, she looks at me and smiles and said, okay, so give me some websites. Where do I go to get this information on how to rebuild my bone mass? I'm very fit. I do a lot of exercise, but I don't do weights. I don't do any resistance exercise. And it's so important for women my age, all women my age. But I've learned that, you know, you can rebuild your skeleton within 7 years. I said to the doctor, this is really bad, isn't it? And she's like, no, you haven't broken anything. You're in great physical health. You're well placed to work on this in a preventative way. You can reverse this. So that's the next.
That's pretty good, eh? That's the kind of language you like.
Absolutely. We have a very good understanding now. She says that 50% of the medication she prescribes are sugar pills.
Right. interesting.
But people want them.
Yeah.
They want to leave with a bag of medication. Yeah. And we're back to that. We're back to the healthy mind again.
Yeah.
If that works as a placebo, then who is she to knock that?
Right. Absolutely. Okay, look, we've got a couple of minutes left.
Okay.
Tell us what you think are the most interesting things that are happening out in the integrative cancer care space.
Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness. I really enjoyed Tracy's talk on peptides at the Annie Appleseed conference. Interesting, though, for me generally is the coming together. You started the podcast with that. I'm watching what's happening in the States with Dr. Casey Means now being nominated for Surgeon General, Robert F. Kennedy in charge of health there. There will be change, and there will be change in the cancer space. There will be change in the health space. Watching and waiting to see.
All right. Well, look, big thank you for coming on the show today, Denise, and for all your work to support and help people face with cancer. I wish you huge success with all your efforts, and which you're having already.
Well, we're in it together, and I'm delighted to endorse Yes to Life at any given opportunity. It was the booklet that you have, Finding Your Way, is at the top of our cancer resource. I gave it to my brother's partner when he was diagnosed. A stark contrast to the information she was given in the hospital. And it helped her hugely. So thank you for all the work that you do and have done for the past 20 years and will continue to do.
We will. Not stopping anytime soon.
No.
Okay, brilliant, Denise. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. I think we could talk for hours.
Bye-bye.
Okay, see you soon. Bye-bye.
I'm sure you're going to want to go and take a look at Denise's website if you're not already familiar with it. So the address you need is 00.org, and that's 00, Z-E-R-O, dot org. To round off our year of celebrating our 20th anniversary with a bang, we're putting on a spectacular gala event in Kew Gardens next month. And as part of this, we're presenting the awards for our very first ever Yes to Life award scheme. There are no less than eight categories of award. The Yes to Life Impact Award recognizes a company that's made a game-changing contribution to our mission, and there are three nominees for that. There's UK Health Radio's founder, Johan Ildenfrids. There's the Really Healthy Company and Progressive Communications, the organization behind the amazing Integrative and Personalized Medicine Congress. The second category is the Corporate Champion Award, and this is for a business that's shown ongoing dedication through funding, awareness, or innovation. And we have three nominees again for that: Abundance and Health, The Wellness Lab, and Weleda, all well known for appearing at our events. The third category is Community Partner Award, which acknowledges a local business that actively supports our community programs. And for that, one of the nominees is Denise Stevenson of 00. Also, Britt Superfoods, Dr. Britt Cordy, and Iscador, manufacturers of mistletoe medicines. The next category is a Lifetime Achievement Award for a life dedicated to service and change. And our three nominees there are Patricia Peat of Cancer Options, Dave Bolton of Ahead of the Game Foundation, and Jane McClelland, known for her book, How to Starve Cancer. There are three nominations for the Humanitarian Award, The Power of Compassion in Action. And again, Denise Stevenson is one of the nominees, also Linda Sinclair and Viv Grant. Volunteer of the Year Award, the very heart of our mission at Yes to Life, we have Melanie Unsworth, who is the force behind our Finding Your Way booklet, Raman Ghosh, who's done amazing fundraising work for us, and Sophie Moran, undergraduate at the Royal Holloway University of London, who has done amazing volunteer work for the charity. The next category is the Integrated Cancer Care Excellent Award, honoring the holistic approach to healing. Our nominees for that category are Dr. Nina Fuller-Chevelle and the Synthesis Clinic, Jackie Price for the Cancer Support Centre, and Dr. Nasha Winters, well known for her work in the field of metabolic cancer care. Then we have the Oncologist of the Year Award, championing integrative cancer care treatment and compassionate care. We have Dr. Penny Kehioglu, Dr. William LaVallee, and Dr. Wafe Abdelhadi are the three nominees for that category. And finally, the Holistic Cancer Care Innovator Award, driving innovation in patient-centered comprehensive cancer treatment. Our three nominees are Dawn Waldron, Axminster and Lyme Cancer Support, and Roseanne Haig and the Circle of Comfort. So whoever wins these awards, all the nominees are exceptional people and organizations that have really made and are continuing to make a difference to the lives of those with cancer. The winners will all be announced at the gala on June the 5th. So watch out on social media for the news. Thanks for listening today. I hope you can join me again next week for the next Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.